Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The doctor was the mother. He stood on a block of ice.
I'm just going to do a roll call really quick. Just make sure everyone is here today in class. J, PC.
Here.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I checked in with my buddy beforehand, and he's going to verify that I am here. But I'm here, and my buddy can say.
Here.
Yeah, that I'm here.
Okay. Is he going to be talking for you for the rest of class?
Nope.
Or?
It's a buddy system. It's for safety.
Okay. Are you the JPC that the teacher was telling me about? I know I'm just a sub, but.
Yeah.
I do have the condition.
And this is.
I'm out of my bubble today because I have a cheat day once a year.
Okay. You're trouble. Adel Rafai, are you here?
So let me explain something about the buddy system. He's my buddy, but I'm not his buddy. I'm his enemy. And so basically the way that it works is you always have to be in motion. Like, I have to have my buddy in between my enemy and me. And do you understand? That's why I'm behind you right now.
Yeah, I quit. I'm just a sub. And your teacher told me that you two were jerks. Erin said she couldn't be here today. I'm just a sub. I don't want to be here. I quit.
Well, what if we made you... Picks up big metal lid. Lunch.
I'm already gone.
Oh. But you can hear me?
Adel? JPC, I couldn't take one day off. You couldn't be nice to the sub?
Oh, Ms. Erin.
Ms. Erin, we hated the sub. We missed you so much.
She was so
mean. I hate
mean.
This.
Her voice was
this.
All wrong.
I don't think we could say that.
Hello. Welcome to Hate Riddle Riddle. I'm Erin Keefe. That's Adel Rafai over there. Still not here.
And that's JPC. J, comma, PC, I believe. If we're using the buddy system, which we are.
What's up, guys?
Personal cartoony. Well, Erin, that's not all we have in the studio today. The studio, I mean, all of our homes. We have two of our friends from Rude Tales of Magic. We're collecting the entire set, and it's going to take us 3, maybe 4 years to do it, but we are going to do it. Tim, Allie, welcome to the show.
Present.
Wow.
See, that wasn't hard at all, right?
Allie brought a present. Wow. Okay, and wrap it
up. It's me.
It lifts up big metal lid. It's Allie. That's cool.
Surprise.
I don't know how you did that. That's very cool.
I jump out of the trash can.
So the substitute said that if I was on my best behavior during class, and I would get 5 minutes at the end of class to do a little performance for everyone. Does that transfer over to real teacher?
Yes, it does. Okay. But you got to be on your best behavior the whole time, and then I'll give you 5 full unbroken minutes to perform whatever you want.
Okay. The sub said that she read that in an interview about Jim Carrey, and so she thought it might work for my behavioral issues.
Well, the sub also said that's how Jim Carrey chipped his front teeth, so... Watch yourself.
I do love a kid like getting one over on the substitute, but it's for something that will only bring them like ridicule and pain. I know you weren't here when you were out, but the sub said that I could have detention all week this week.
That's really good.
Please.
Tim, Allie,
we're all about
what
to
is
ask
your...
the same question.
We're all champing at the bit to get it out.
Are you all okay?
No. We're tired. It's a Monday morning early. This is our first recording of the day. This is bad.
Tim and Allie, what is your relationship with riddles? Do you like them? Do you not like them? And by riddles, I mean Riddles, puzzles, lateral thinking problems, crosswords even, escape rooms, anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were going to warm up to this, so I'm a little bit shocked to have to tell you my relationship with Riddles right away.
We're the cold plunge of
You can also say pass. You get one pass per episode.
Uh-huh.
Do I?
Yeah.
And then I fully pass on the question.
Oh, smart move. Not a lot of guests take advantage of that move.
No, I'm ready. I'll jump right in. Hey, I'm Allie Fisher, and I like a riddle.
Ooh.
Whoa.
It's a comfortable middle road. I will say that I have loved riddles, but I'm not so indiscriminate in my riddle appreciation that all riddles get like excitement out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Smart. Mm-hmm.
What a healthy
protect
answer.
Yourself. Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you have
boundaries?
I almost asked if you had a favorite riddle, but instead I'll say, is there a riddle or even a... every once in a while, a property, we just saw the new Mission Impossible movie and there were riddles in that. Do you have like a thing that that you have a, not necessarily a favorite riddle from, but like a property that has riddles in it that you enjoy? I was trying to ask the question in the vaguest way possible so that you might have an answer to it, but I got about halfway through the question and was like, what a terrible fucking question.
Is there a property and or franchise and or IP where riddles have been utilized in ways that have been impactful towards you?
Sure, I appreciate media. How about this? As like a logic puzzle, what do we think about time travel is like a riddle, right? Because you're like logicing through step by step.
We'll allow it.
So I think, I feel like, what... I always forget the name of it. It's Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt.
Edge of Tomorrow. Which
Live,
is famously
die,
one of the number one movies we talk about on this podcast.
Is it really?
Love
it,
that
truly,
movie.
It truly
love
is.
That movie.
We think it
I
is.
I almost passed on this question.
No.
We collectively think it is one of the most underrated films of all time.
It is. Yeah. It really is. So I put it in. We do movie marathons, and my movie marathon was about motorcycles. It was called Clutch. Just like with Friends. Mm-hmm. And there's one moment where Tom Cruise rides a motorcycle on this, and that's how it squeaked in.
Yeah, that's like a third act motorcycle thing. It's very brief.
It is but a moment. But it squeaked in, and it became one of my favorite movies of the year. But I think for that one, like, I love a time travel sort of video game logic where it's like, okay, I got this far, I died. I got this far, I died. I have to, like, stop, roll, live, die, repeat.
Dare
so
say.
I guess...
Which That'll is better
be
than
answer.
The graphic. I think the graphic novel is called All You Need Is Die or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Or is it All You Need Is Kill or All You Need
All
Is
you
Die?
All You Need Is Kill.
Matter.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Which I have not enjoyed.
I have read it, but I watched the movie about 1,000 times before I read it. And then I was like, but it's not like the movie. There's no Tom Cruise in it. So I ruined it for myself.
The movie was better. It's a great film.
I think the movie did this thing where, look, Tom Cruise, a lot of problems with the Tom Cruise guy, but one thing that I don't have a problem with is his ability to make compelling movies and be very good in them. Like, he's a movie guy. He only exists to make movies for my pleasure. And they fixed some stuff with the script of the base material to make it more like of an enjoyable blockbuster movie. And I'm big in favor of that. So
I will say a Tom Cruise fun opinion is that he is sexless in a comfortable way.
Ooh, wow.
He's like big action star, obviously attractive,
so
like
true.
Super hot shit, but he has no chemistry with anyone ever.
No.
And I'm like, I'm fine with it. Yeah. It makes me very happy. No one feels threatened. The dynamics remain static. So I get to focus on the like logistics of the movie.
Yep.
Allie, is there like a time travel paradox in particular when you bring up time travel as a riddle? Is there like one paradox or like you just like it when narratives walk you through that problem solving?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry to break in here. You're going to have to answer the question, Tim. You can't stall with any of these big time travel conundrums. That's not what we're doing here today.
Oh, and I love this.
Very quickly, I just want to say my hot opinion, which is I think Tom Cruise is our generation's runner. I feel like you film that guy running and it's cinema. You know, so I feel like he's...
I just want to see him jump off of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's our runner. Tim, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about riddles. You know, like in the
cool.
In as much as riddles are like Aesop's fables in rhyme, I think that is like where I'm on board. I like the language of I like the language of riddles. I like the rhythm of riddles. I'm like not crazy about solving stuff, you know? I feel like I always get sort of mad somewhere in a riddle.
Sure.
And I'm always like, I always have the impulse of like, tell me, more than I have the impulse of I'm going to figure it out.
Tim,
so that says a lot about me, apparently, but it is sort of how I've interacted in riddles in my life.
Tim, can I ask, does that also translate? Because I find this to be true with what you're presenting right now, if A then B sort of style. Is this also true when you see magic? Are you someone where you're like, I don't care about what I saw. Tell me immediately how it happened.
No, okay. I love wow. being blown away by a magic show. I love just like abandoning myself to the wonder of that.
But that's a magic show you can like submit to in a way that the other person doesn't like hold the microphone to your face, right?
Yeah. And in every riddle, someone's holding a microphone.
It's Billy Eichner
screaming, "Submit! Riddles submit! On the street." Yeah.
We should do a riddles on the street TikTok or something like aping Billy Eichner. I think that
we're
going to
get killed.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to get my ass beat. What are you talking about? Are you crazy? Have you seen people on the street?
Enough away from people.
I will say the one riddle I think of when I hear riddles. I'm sure people have brought this up before, but the riddle from The Hobbit. The box without hinges, key or lid, yet golden treasure inside his head. I think I heard that at a very young age, and I was like, now that's, ooh, baby, that's something else. What an idea. What a concept.
Well, here, I'm excited about this, because what I would love to do by the end of this episode, I would love to change one of your minds about riddles. Okay. Allie, I would love to make you hate them. Tim, I would love to make you love them.
Okay.
I'll also settle for no change. No change is also fine with me.
I think we're going to do this, then.
We do have some listener-submitted riddles, and occasionally I'll pull these from, we have people email hrrpodcast@gmail.com and leave us some riddles. Occasionally people will put in their like subject line or somewhere in their message that they use these riddles in their D&D games. Now, we have you two who have an actual play podcast also on the HeadGum Network, so now we're meeting as peers. And I thought, what better way than to get you involved in something that I feel like will make you feel more comfortable because it's something that you're used to, right?
Meeting us where we are. Thank you.
Exactly.
Yes.
So these first riddles are from Holly. We have Holly writes, this is their first riddle, okay? And they said, context, these come from a Pathfinder campaign called Mummy's Mask.
Oh,
has anyone ever played the Mummy's Mask campaign?
No.
No, but I'm so into mummies recently.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, you're in a mummy phase?
They're just so funny to me, because like they don't, like they're not that scary. You know what I mean?
Take it back, man. Don't say it.
I just don't think mummies will ever scare me.
They're zombies with window dressing. Like, it's truly... Yeah.
And it's the idea of the mummy's curse, which I always find kind of like, they're kind of scary, but watch out for their mummy's curse. There's something very comic about... It's very coy. It's a very coy monster, I feel like.
This is classic New York City elitism, because you just don't think mummies are going to be a problem because you live in the big city. But here in real America, mummies are a daily occurrence. I live in the second biggest city.
We actually live in Mummy Alley, which is Tornado Alley, but way more hieroglyphic.
Those were all my nicknames in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Mummy Alley.
Mummy Alley.
Tornado Alley.
Whenever you had a Band-Aid on, you wrap your head.
When I was spinning, I was Tornado.
Okay, so here's the first one of Holly's riddles. Again, from a published Pathfinder adventure path thing, so we probably can't get in trouble for reading these. The first one, the sky breathes against the mountains tall and makes their stony hearts to fall. Flame heats the mountains' broken domes and makes a window of their bones that lies within the mountain's grave.
That's almost word for word the song Fire Coming Out of a Monkey's Head as read by Dennis Hopper on the Gorillaz album. I want to say, oh boy, what's that called? Dare to be Stupid?
And we have told you to stop bringing up this Gorillaz album. It's just Dennis Hopper's
Demon
song.
Days,
what
Demon
are you
days.
Doing?
Is it like volcano? Is it? I can't tell if it's describing the action against the mountain or the mountain. Is it a volcano?
I like that as an answer, and it's not the correct answer, yeah, okay. But you have my respect.
I want to say I closed my eyes and shut off all sensory input other than that, and it was many words put together that I did not follow.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to read it again.
A lot of images. I'd love to hear it again.
Now, Aaron, Allie is using one of your strategies. Mm-hmm. Would you like to, could you speak to how the closing your eyes strategy works in practice?
Allie, it took me weeks to figure it out, but that is exactly what I do. I close my eyes because otherwise I'll have a panic attack after one of them reads a riddle. It can be the only thing that sensory-wise is coming at me, or I'll have a complete nervous breakdown and break my computer screen.
Okay, incredible.
Yeah, so you're on the right track. But I do need to hear it again, JPC, because
I will let you hear it again. I do want to see a quick scene, though. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a scene between Aaron and Tim. Aaron, you are going for a job interview, but you just have to have your eyes closed the entire time, or else you're going to have a panic attack. And Tim, you are interviewing Aaron for this job.
Hey, sorry we're late. We've had a few people coming through. So I hope you don't have a thing right after this.
No problem. Is this where the chair is?
Yes. Yeah, no. Please sit right down.
Okay. All right. Hi. Thank you so much for taking the time to see me today.
Yeah, no, of course. And before we get into the resume or any stuff like that, I just like to get to know the person first and sort of get a feeling for, because in this office, it's not about what you do, it's about how you communicate what you're doing. It's
Wait, where are say. You? Marco!
Polo, I'm behind the desk.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I just, keep going. Sorry. What you were saying, office culture.
Yeah, and just in terms of office culture, we should keep sunglasses, you know. I get that you might be one of these younger Gen Z types, but, you know, we'd like to take our sunglasses off.
Sure. And. Yeah, sorry. I drew eyes on top of my eyes, hoping that you would notice that my eyes are closed, but I couldn't see what I was drawing. So I don't know if they turned out so good.
You didn't draw eyes. Those are hieroglyphs. Those a language that I've somehow seen in my dreams.
Uh-oh. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to meet me. I'm going to
You're hired. You're hired.
See.
Perfect.
I was like, I wonder if Tim's going to bring mummies into this scene.
Tim, I will Venmo you $20 that if you can bring mummies into every single scene that you're in today.
You don't need to Venmo him money. It's going to happen. Absolutely. Can I let the listener in on the fact that this is an audio medium to start with? And Tim was playing a character across from a character whose eyes were closed, and he was gesturing the whole time.
Yes, he was.
There was a lot of waving and other things.
God. I also, as a peek behind the curtain, Aaron was improvising as a character who had their eyes closed with her eyes open, which I was like, yeah, you're able to. That's the magic of improv.
Can I let you guys in on something that shameful that happened to me this past weekend that is sort of haunting me?
Please.
Finally. Yes.
So my boyfriend's family was in town, and we were at a fancy dinner one of the nights.
Mm-hmm.
And I was gesticulating and getting excited and telling a story, and I knocked over my glass of wine, and it went everywhere, and it spilled all over his sister. And it made me seem drunk. And then I spilled all over her dress, and it was horrible.
Red or white.
Then I went to the bathroom and texted Adel for a little while to calm down.
Wait, red or white? Aaron, red or white?
Rosé.
Oh, the middle way.
The one in the middle.
Well, it's a summer spill, so that worked out.
Yeah, but I wasn't even drunk. I was just excitedly telling a story about Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which is like the worst possible moment for something like that to happen. Oh, it was horrible. Oh,
Aaron,
I can't stop thinking about it.
I have to ask, though, is this the first time you've done something embarrassing in front of Sean's family like this? Oh, okay, good. So they kind of...
This is par for the course.
Yeah, I was going to
say,
know.
They have context for you, right? Like, they're not...
I do appreciate you spilling the wine on his sister while telling a story about clothing that has additional color to it. I think that's very fun. I think that's a very good... That's the best case scenario. Or actually, best case
scenario is when you make a mistake, a horrible mistake that thematically connects the conversation.
Thank you.
That is the best case scenario.
Actually, best case scenario is you spill it, but she's kind of crouched and she drinks it all in one gulp.
Yes.
And then like says, ta-da. Cool. Yeah, that's best case cool. scenario. I'm sorry.
Anyway. That is absolute horror material. That's like Twin Peaks. Who's the guy who's like bending down and just like shows up? Like his name? Ugh, Bob. That's what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Well, okay, so we do have to. I will read the riddle one more time. Yeah. Everyone is very close. Here he is. The sky breathes against the mountains tall and makes their stony hearts to fall.
Mm-hmm.
Flame heats the mountains' broken domes and makes a window of their bones. What lies within the mountain's grave? Here's the thing. I think I said that lies within the mountain's grave, but which is what it says. I think it is what lies within the mountain's grave.
Lava?
Because there's a question mark. Lava, it is not lava.
Magma? So we're not actually talking about real mountains here.
Yeah,
is
this
guess.
Like a brain or something?
Obsidian?
It kind of is a
coal?
Mountain.
Is it coal?
It is not coal.
Diamonds.
Okay. Ooh, diamonds.
It's not diamonds.
Good.
Gems.
Gems.
I truly think that gems. Like,
earth stuff. Is it generally earth stuff?
Earth stuff.
Earth
yes.
stuff. Soil.
Well, if Arnie were here, he'd say.
Oh, is it?
We'll talk about it.
It'd be so funny if the answer is just earth stuff.
Earth stuff.
Yeah, for every answer.
And here on Hayward the Road, we do want to talk about earth stuff.
Yes, thank you. Tim is correct in that it is earth stuff that we are talking about. You've got the general category. We're looking
That's
for
not
a specific
helpful.
Thing.
What lies within?
No,
dirt.
Oil.
Water.
Fossils?
Dirt, water, oil, fossils.
Well,
no.
Fossils are oil.
People who are in the mountain for some reason.
A canary.
I think here's the line that I think is going to be the easiest for you to cue into.
Yeah.
Flame heats the mountain's broken domes and makes a window of their bones.
So that would be a volcano, right?
Yeah.
Because the top of a volcano
is a
window.
Did you say volcano? Yeah, that's the answer.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, that was the first thing. That was the first thing.
Wait,
was
this
no,
like a...
I, of course it's not the answer.
Oh,
you stop saying
lava.
No, it's not that.
Wow, you totally caught me.
I thought this was going to be like a lava magma thing where it's like, no, it's not lava, actually.
No.
It's still in a mountain.
Technically.
Okay. So this is such a hostile podcast. For being a riddle podcast, it's such an unpleasant place to be.
That's why we only do two riddles per episode now.
So, but this is what the thing about riddles too is that I heard my voice go, but we already said that. That was the first thing. It's like the emotional reality of answering a riddle for me does not bring alive the most generous and compelling person.
That's so true. That's the same for all of us.
I will miss answers all the time when it's just Adel and Aaron. So I'm trying my best to like hear everyone say their answers, but I truly don't think I've heard the right answer yet. Okay. So, The part of that I'll cue into even closer is makes a window of their bones.
Glass.
Okay,
it's sand.
So glass.
Sand or glass?
It's sand.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't think that's
rocks,
how sand is made.
Wind.
Wow. I do want to see
I
a
don't
scene.
Think that, I don't think that's how sand is made, though.
Oh, God.
I think this is not how sand is
you
made.
You cool glass.
Okay,
if you
let's
cool
go
glass,
to the sand makers.
Yeah. Look, this... I don't think I'm crazy here that the, you know, the assumed reality of this riddle was, like, landlocked.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I love how whenever we watch one of our guests get, like, flip into a rage over a riddle, me, Adel, and JPC just start nodding. Mm-hmm. Being like,
no, this is good. This
we
is
know
what
and we're
hey,
sorry.
We get it.
We've
we get it.
We've shrugged our load onto someone else. I do want to see a scene. JPC and Allie, you are two friends who are hanging at the beach. This is a nice sunny day. You're taking advantage of the weather to hang on the beach, but you're both very, you use sort of overly flowery sort of language to describe everything you're doing to where it's almost impenetrable.
The crunch of the bones of Mother Earth between my phalanges of the foot.
Extraordinary. Yes. And I think of the whisper of air upon my face. my epidermis. And
perchance.
What?
Methinks to submerge my corporeal form upon the wet spittle of the gods, pooling in gentle oscillations of the mighty Poseidon's domain.
Eureka! Tidal tidings upon us. Shall we dis and fully exchange our cloths for pure birth suit?
Dally ho! Oh! But a thought does cross upon my very head.
Agony, agony!
retreat! We. The two twine between the. Twixt the waves must dry ourselves under the orb of hot fire burning upon the heavens.
Hey,
screen! Wait, what?
Hey, so sorry to interrupt. I just, our kids are here. They can hear everything you're saying, so this is a family beach, if you guys wouldn't mind. I'm not trying to get in the way of anyone's stuff. Just give you keep
Eureka,
you
Dad, Eureka, Tidal Tidings. Eureka, Tidal Tidings.
Thanks a lot, God. Thanks a lot. Well,
halfway through, I only pictured, like, Ian McKellen and Maggie Smith doing this, where it's like, instead of Shakespeare in the park, it's like Shakespeare on the beach.
It truly, they would be proud. You guys sounded like me in my improvised Shakespeare audition, being like, tidings.
In mine, I kept saying zounds. Somebody would say something, I go, zounds, good sir.
My favorite of this exchanges was perchance, what?
I never auditioned for improvised Shakespeare, but we used to play like Shakespeare games and comedy sports. And the one thing that I would always just keep in my pocket that would always give a laugh is calling a character portfolio.
That's very nice. Yeah.
That's a strong, it's like a strong Bolio. Comedy sports was all about like having three jokes and then just keeping them in your pocket for every show.
All right,
we can, I want to do one more riddle before we take a little break. So let's get to the next one. These are Holly's riddles. Not really, I guess, because they just took them from a pet. It doesn't matter. These are Holly's riddles. They have no weight, no shape, no size, yet all well know when they arise.
Minions.
Okay, can you be more specific of the three minions we're looking for here, Adam?
Oh, smells.
Yeah, I want to say smells, grumpy, and banana.
Are those three?
Well, somebody's seen the movies. Okay, we're only halfway through. The wordless, tuneless, tongueless two, they sing a song of pain, full true. What are they? Unless it smells. It is not smells.
Interesting.
Wind.
Is it like wind chimes?
Ooh, it is. Oh. It is not wind.
Is it a musical instrument?
They have
instrument?
No weight, no shape, no size.
No weight, okay.
Yet all well know when they arise. It is not
crushes.
A musical instrument.
Ooh, crushes is good.
Through wordless, tuneless, tongueless too, they sing a song of pain, full true.
Unrequited.
Yeah. Give it to him.
Is it like true love or something?
It's not, but I do kind of like those as answers.
Yeah. Unrequited
true love, crushes.
Is this mummy themed?
Oh, is it a curse?
It's not mummy. Okay. I guess technically this whole episode is mummy themed.
Yeah, we made it mummy themed.
I'm so sorry. Just to go back a few minutes, I do want to mention, you know, I was playing that kid on the beach.
Yeah.
My dad was upset. My dad is a mummy, I should just say. So Aaron, you're still on the hook for $20.
And Casey, whatever we can do in post to make it clear that Tim's character was a mummy.
Real raspy death rattle.
Yeah, you must have like a mummy
filter
sound that we can use. Yeah, a filter.
The monster mash rising. Yeah.
I wonder if I have a mummy filter. No, man, that's a bummer. Ugh. Yes. What good is a soundboard if you don't have a fucking mummy filter?
That's what also I find so funny is that there's no like characterization you can really do that people are going to go, oh, that's mummy, do you know?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have
good
to wrap
point.
Toilet paper around yourself. The visual monster.
I've got...
Sounds like
that's
a swarm of locusts. That sounds like a swarm of locusts.
That's horrible.
Horrifying.
Yeah. That was horrible.
And we should say, listener, if you heard that sound, it's too late. You will, dying is too harsh. You
that
will
one guy who decided to take an edible for this episode is freaking out right now.
Kyle, we're coming for you.
Oh, God, I forgot people listen to this high. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility.
What arises from its tomb when you invade its long room? It's long something. You know, it's long...
Sarcophagus.
Yeah, there is that go. A mummy playing a flute?
Yeah,
I guess a recorder, so. Yeah. I don't really know what my soundboard could do, so I just kind of click into things that I think will be evil.
JPC, okay. is this yes. nothing to do with music? Because you said sing a sad song. It's not...
The wordless, tuneless, tongueless two, they sang a song of painful true.
Two?
T-O-O, but that's T-O-O. A great question.
Okay. Is this like a concept or idea?
No.
No.
It is... Yeah, it's not a concept literal? Or idea. It's literal, yes.
So what's weightless, but is like a thing?
It's a sound that you can make that is wordless, whistle. Tuneless, and tongueless.
Whistle? No, do you...
Is it actually whistle, tuneless?
A fart.
A fart. A burp.
Aaron, a fart?
Cough?
Hold on. Let me go through. I'm going to go through the riddle, Aaron, and you tell me if fart works for these. No weight.
Don't hold me accountable.
No shape. No size. So far, I think we're good, right? Yeah. Yet all know when they arise. Mm-hmm. I think we all
that's
know what a fart is.
This is wordless, going really tuneless, well for me.
Wordless, tuneless, tongueless, too. They sing a song of pain, full true.
Well, tuneless is 50-50.
But a fart is like, a fart is full of tune.
Yeah, because sometimes it's like, sometimes it's like,
yeah.
Sometimes
it's not, yeah. though.
Sometimes it's,
I think I'm tuneless is hard, too, because I think like everything has kind of a tune to it. I think fart is the closest. And
without going over.
Is it like a tummy rumble?
No, it's not a tummy rumble, but hunger. You are good. You're good with a sound that you can physically make.
I don't know if Tim said hunger. Is it hunger?
It's not hunger.
It's not a concept. It's a clapping thing.
No.
Sing a song of painful true. This would be something that you would do if you were like in a lot of pain.
Ooh, cry.
Squeal.
Cry. Scream.
I will take squeal. I think Tim, did you say squeal?
I said squeal.
I think squeal is closest to that going over. The answer is scream, though.
What?
So, Adel, you technically
scream.
Got
that's
it.
Not tuneless. That's not tuneless, though.
Wait, and there was was there tongueless, or did I just add that?
The way
that
I
in?
Scream is.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, tongueless.
Do you need your tongue to scream?
No, you don't.
Boo, this riddle, boo.
I do like that Tim said squeal, and I said scream, and JPC says, I'm going to give it to squeal, because the answer is scream.
Well, squeal was first, though. I feel like squeal was first, and I feel like squeal is qualified. A squeal is a scream.
Yeah.
Well,
embarrassing scream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the tonality, the musicality of them are different because of their tunes. These things have tunes. Every sound we make is just another gesture onto the canvas of sonic.
I gotta be honest. I liked Mummy Tim way better.
I want to see the quickest of scenes before we go to break. Tim, you are tuneless Tony, one of the big mafiosa in town. Allie, you are screaming Sammy, another one of the mafiosa in town. And Aaron has threatened to squeal on you too. So you're sort of trying to intimidate her into not ratting you out.
Look. Even now I speak
hey, boss,
in the...
What's so funny? I'm sorry. I won't go. I won't go.
You're making these faces.
Guys.
You're making these faces whenever we try to intimidate you. You're making these funny little faces as if... You always used to make us laugh. You always used to...
Scene.
Sorry, I was laughing because I was trying to be tuneless, but then I just said, oh, I just did a bass. So you see, before this break, we just gotta talk about.
Oh, too bad. Sorry.
No. We should say there is much like Pee Wee's Playhouse, there is a magic word or sound you can make. Allie, you couldn't have known this, but anyone who at any time on this show is who's a guest makes indirectly or directly the Howard Dean scream, they do immediately win $20 from Aaron. So we're gonna go to break. We're gonna get you your $20. Casey, replace the Howard Dean scream with Allie's scream with Sammy.
Yeah, we should have both on our soundboard from now on.
Great.
And we'll be right back with more mummies.
GPC Adel, come in here quick.
Oh, Aaron, what's
going on, Aaron?
Haircut, would you, new makeup, what's going on?
No. I added new photos to my Aura frame, and there's one of us coming up that I'm dying for you guys to see.
Okay.
We just got to wait a second.
This is you taking a bath? I don't, I don't know why this one's on here.
Oh, this is awesome. I love this.
It's mostly photos of me taking a bath in a full wetsuit, pretending that I'm sort of like exploring. Doesn't matter. Just wait for the photo.
And there's bags of rice that say JPC Natal on them.
Doesn't matter. Don't look too closely at those photos.
It's like Scuba Steve from... not Billy Madison.
Big Daddy.
Scuba Steve is from Big Daddy. Big Daddy.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. And I'm not a mom, but I love an Aura frame too. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. And I'm not one of Oprah's favorite things, but I love Aura frames. And Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. My mom has one. Your mom has one. All of our moms have one. And I love them.
You can use your finger to swipe across the top. Okay, so this is like a professional photo shoot. Who's taking the pictures of you in the wetsuit in the bath?
Don't ask questions.
From Aura to Oprah, everyone loves this frame. And true story, I gave my mom one last year, like you were saying, Aaron. I gave her one for her birthday. She is obsessed. And here's the fun part is Gemma and I have an app where we can add photos on our phones to my mom's frame. And she lives hours away. And that's fun and enjoyable.
This is, you're still in the wetsuit, but now you're at like a child's birthday party? Like whose birthday party is it? Were you hired to be here in a wetsuit? It doesn't seem wetsuit themed.
And don't be
stop asking questions.
You called us in here.
And don't be concerned about your parent or relative figuring it out. It takes 2 minutes to set up a frame using Aura app. Literally 2 minutes. It's very simple.
I know that this is confusing because of what we're saying, but you can choose the photos that you put on the Aura frame. It doesn't choose for you or make your friends scroll through hundreds of photos of you at this birthday party.
I handpicked these.
Not only can you choose them, but there's also a private feature. You have complete control over who has access to your frame, and the Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which many other digital frames require. Oh, Aaron, I just got a notification here in my Aura app that you want to share with me all your photos.
Aaron.
Send them to everyone.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Riddle at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Oh, here it is. It's the photo of all of us. Nope, it's bags of rice with our name written on them.
Do you love it?
I want to leave. Okay, whew. We are back from break. Luckily, it was a mummy-free break, which is a new for us. And good, though.
Yes, that is...
Although toilet paper was involved.
Okay, listeners. If for any of you sleuths out there trying to solve that riddle... Mm-hmm.
This might be kind of crass, but like every piece of shit is kind of like a mummy if you've wiped it in the right way.
Too far. Tim went too far.
Well, actually, I have a ton of questions about that.
That's why I said in the right way. That's why I said in the right way.
No, exactly. That's the part we have questions about.
Yeah, that's... Truly, the fact that you think that's the right way is that's my big...
You know, the right way for the mummy. You are all taking this in a really weird way.
I said something super normal, and everyone's reacting as if we have. I think we have a couple more of Holly's riddles.
Great.
One is. I struggle with this word, so I'm going to spell it out. It's not the first word. The first word is four. Four owls. Owls. A-W-L-S. Owls. Owls.
Owls?
Owls.
Owls.
I truly hope that this is not a misprint and it meant owls.
Owls.
Four owls.
That's female owls.
I can't not say owl.
Owls.
Fuck. I'm just going to jump right over that word. For awls have I for punching through. For knives have I for cutting too. 10 friends above and 10 below to grind up pieces of my foe. What am I?
Teeth?
No, but teeth is part of it.
Okay.
Mouth?
Bones?
It's not bones. I think that this is something that has teeth.
Okay.
This one I think will be kind of difficult to get, I think.
Bear trap?
A comb? A brush?
Oh, comb's good.
Oh, that is great. It is not figurative teeth. I guess are those figurative teeth? No, they're literally teeth. It's just what they're called. But this is more like a creature.
Oh, it's like a fucked up piano.
Okay, so
this is a creature.
I'd like to see a scene. Tim, you're taking piano lessons, and Adel, you're the piano, and you're kind of a monster. So whenever you want to scare Tim, you can.
Okay.
Yes, okay, yes, crack your fingers more.
What, hello?
Each knuckle.
Oh.
Look up here. I'm under your chair.
Huh?
Ah, slide out from underneath. Hello.
Ah!
Let's get started, shall we?
Sure. I'm supposed to practice Bach for my teacher.
Yes, Bach. Yes, one of my favorites.
Hey, I'm sorry. Do you, like, want to be played? The way you're talking to me seems like it's going to give you the pleasure to be played. And this might be a long story, but I've never given pleasure in my life.
I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, so I'm going to go ahead and...
I'm going to play
sprint
you.
Sprint forward. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mash the
How about
keys.
This?
Mash them.
And this?
Beautiful.
I'm going to try scale right here.
Beautiful. Yes, press the scales. I have scales.
Gosh, look at me. I guess I'm more at home with the monsters than I am with my own friends.
Yes,
even my girlfriend. Oh, you know, I've never pleasured her before.
I'm a Frankensteinway. I'm sort of a monster piano. I did have a bride, actually. So let me tell you this. You will know when someone feels made for you, that is true love. You will know. You will feel it.
Have you felt true love before?
Yes.
Have you had a player that... hit all the right notes?
Yeah, or it's another piano. No player has ever given me the same satisfaction. Oh, can you play Satisfaction?
Yeah, sure. Do. I don't know the chords, but I can do the melody. I can figure out the melody.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. No.
Yeah, no,
da, da, da. Yeah. That was it, right?
Yeah.
Da, 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 da.
Well, let's just start with the Jaws theme.
Sure. That's a half step, right?
Well, that's our time. Nope. I think I heard the alarm go off. I think that's our time.
Don't go! Don't go! Don't go! 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 I need you.
No, please let go. Let go.
You are my piano. I'm Chris Martin. Do 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 do.
And that's how Coldplay was born.
We're gonna get sued.
I'm Chris Martin, he affirms.
And technically, Chris Martin has the presence of a mummy. So Tim, you're still on track to win that $20.
Mm-hmm. Those piercing blue eyes.
Yes.
That's rather mummy-ish, in
his
my opinion.
Cursed albums.
I did look it up. An awl is a tool. It's a small pointed tool used for piercing holes, especially in leather.
Mm.
The answer is shoe.
Awl.
Shoe. I feel like Allie was listening when I said that this was a creature, and I feel like a lot of people have been saying non-creature.
Right, okay.
Oh, piano can't be a creature?
Yeah,
wow.
Come on.
Mm, rude. Wait,
fuck,
can you?
I'm
just got to hear it again. There's some like bizarre mind fuck of listen to a riddle quickly and then listen to an improv scene.
Yeah.
It's like impossible to pay attention.
It's like waterboarding.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Finally, some validation.
Allie and I are both here to affirm each and every one of you in your own special ways.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
We
and
love
if you're
affirming.
Listening to this podcast, hi. Don't worry.
Kyle.
It we'll take it slow. Okay,
that's a
chainsaw.
That's a mummy.
Okay, so four awls have I for punching through. Four.
Yeah.
Four knives have I for cutting two. 10 friends above and 10 below to grind up pieces of my foe. What am I?
Like spider. Back-to-back spider?
It's not a back-to-back spider. It is a creature. We are literally talking about the teeth that this creature has.
It's got to be an insect.
What's the first line again? The very first line?
Everyone is making me say this word that I'm not confident in.
Ow.
Four awls have I for punching through.
Mm. Those would be like the
is
canines.
Is it a crab?
Those would be four canines. Oh, crabs are
great. That is right. That is four. Yeah, four canines.
Okay.
Oh. Four knives have I for cutting two.
Canines.
No.
Claws?
Double canines. Four claws.
No, it's a different type of tooth.
Bicuspid.
Slots?
Bicuspid. Not slots. Here's the thing. Elephant? I don't know how you would ever know this. Like, do you guys know
Shark,
how many, like, what kind of teeth are in what kind of animals?
All I know, the one thing I know about teeth, zoo books. Tim has zoo books, which is
Has zoo books at the ready.
Worth their weight in gold as a child. The only thing I know is that hyenas have like the most, and this may not even be correct, it could be like alligators, but I've heard that hyenas have the most crushing power with their teeth.
Yeah. Beefcakes, okay. Right?
They're total
beefcakes.
And I know
beavers have teeth that don't stop growing, which is why they have to chew them down. Stop.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Or they'll go through their bottom lip.
These are really great animal facts. None of these are helpful for
Piranha.
The answer to this.
Is it a fish? Is it a land Elephant. Creature or a water creature?
Land creature.
Wolverine. Badger.
The four knives is confusing to me because I think claws, I would think, you know, more.
All of these are describing types of teeth. So four... all survive for punching through our canines.
Yeah.
The four knives are the carnosial teeth.
Carne asada, something. Yes.
Carne asada teeth, which means steak. And then the 10 above and 10 below are the 20 other teeth. This is a creature that has...
Lion.
Wait. Okay, I have a great question. This has worked Tiger. Before. JPC, if there was like Dog. A Pixar-type movie made where this creature was a character, what would their voice sound like?
Smart.
Okay, that is great, Aaron. This has worked one time before, so I'll go.
We got Umbrella off of this.
We got Umbrella. Yes. He did the perfect Umbrella voice. It was like my favorite moment from the show. Okay.
Okay, this is what that creature would sound like. Okay,
it's the same as his Umbrella voice.
It's a British animal for sure.
A British bear. This magic moment that happened in a prior episode that you're always trying to recapture, and this is the moment you realized it was nothing.
Yeah, it was a fluke. It was a total fluke. Oh, is it a fluke?
Hey, to be clear, I realized it was nothing before I had to do the thing.
Oh, is it a? It's Snagglepuss. That was Snagglepuss. It's a panther.
It is not a panther. You're very close.
Tiger, leopard.
It's a type of cat.
Cheetah. Ocelot.
Leopard.
Tim got it. It is a lion.
Mm. Oh.
Can I? I don't want to be rude, but can I rail against the riddle?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, go on.
We do have a Zach De La Roca segment if you'd like us to lead
this
you into
from,
that.
This is from the Pathfinder Corporation, so feel free to be as brutal as you want to be.
I think... So I feel like it's sort of like Jeopardy questions, right? Like you ideally want to have clues that like get you in to the answer, but who thinks about like the type of the amount of teeth different animals have are not like common knowledge enough to lead you anywhere. And a lion has so many other cultural signifiers and physical signifiers that like are that we think about that like in this like going for. And this not doing any of that to get us closer to understanding the numbers, I just think...
I do want to see a scene.
Isn't Pathfinder secondary world, too?
Yeah, right?
Couldn't you be like, it's a winged lion with, halos.
Like, is this a fucking Rakasha or whatever?
Yeah.
this is a different
I completely
beast.
Agree with you.
Yeah. Rakshasa.
Your anger is Rakshasa. Justified.
Great.
Adel, what is your scene that you'd like to see?
Just very quickly, I do want to plug the new season of Justified Primeval, coming soon to Hulu. Tim, you are going to be playing...
Hold on. Is there really a new season of Justified
100%. It's set in Detroit.
Wednesday, right?
It's based on one of the better Elmore Leonard novels.
I actually have something that I have to do right now, and so I have to go.
Okay. Tim, you're going to be playing a lion who's... You're on like a talk show, like a nighttime talk show. Not like the Tonight Show or anything, but you're on this talk show kind of discussing the misunderstandings of lions and how lions are so much more than just claws and teeth. Aaron, you are the host of this talk show, and you're just trying to better understand this creature.
Thank you so much for coming on tonight. What a dream this has been to have.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you so much for having me. This is really fantastic. Yeah. Oh, whoa. Hey. Okay, I'm going to put my paws in front of my mouth so you don't have to see my terrifying teeth when I talk.
Your paws are so big.
Oh, sorry. Jeez Louise. Hey, I know you're scared, but there's more to lions than their claws and teeth.
Yeah?
Yeah. In fact...
What?
People always compare big cats by their coats or their little differences, but really it's about our internal lives that you can really set a lion apart.
Okay, yeah. Are you hungry right now?
I am not hungry. In fact, I'm feeling quite courageous, which is how you know I'm a lion. Lions are courageous, and it looks like this lately I hope to get a little lion, could take a little page from the lion, a cue from the lion's page, a page from the lion's book, with a little more courage.
We edited this in post, so we can take it whatever you want.
That's cowardly to me. See, that's cowardly to me. Do it live. Do it live. See, they like it.
Yeah, I heard that you recently went on a cruise and some wacky things happened.
So cruises are all right if you're not one of the more famous animals in the world. You know, I came in to relax. Everyone's coming up. You try not to be rude. You try not to be rude. But at a certain point, you go, hey, can I enjoy some time with my family for a little bit? Well, I said that to a panther.
I am so scared right now.
And the panther is just another style of leopard, apparently. That's what I've We can add that part up. We had
Wow, the audience really took a turn.
You're going to lose your soundboard privileges, JPC.
It's so helpful just to speak comedic nuts and bolts for a second. It is so helpful for my whole thing to have someone giving ironic cheers and affirming boos. It like really puts my whole thing into into the right frame.
Tim, have you ever seen?
I was just going to say, I think we made podcast history because that was a scene about a mummy lion.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
I think so.
Amazing.
I think so. Yeah,
very
Egyptians
cool. The fan art,
cats.
It's coming in already.
The rare Midwestern mummy lion. Okay, look, Holly has one last riddle. Now, that last one, I totally agree with Tim, and I honestly agree with everyone. You really have to know specifically about a lion's teeth to get the answer to that one. Otherwise, you're just guessing. Holly says that they gave this one to their team. This is one that Holly invented, and the players in Holly's campaign called it total bullshit.
Yes, Holly. Good work.
So I like it. If you didn't, if you thought that that last one was hard to parse, this one might be a little tricky. Holly agrees, and Holly also said that they learned an important lesson about player knowledge and what you could expect out of players. But here's
a moral. Fables.
It all comes with a fable. This one's a little longer. The story goes, or the one we've all been told, there was a king who always flew too high, and then he fell too low. And so he called all his wise men to the hall and begged them for the answer to the rising and the fall. And people sing of how they came back with a ring, a simple, plain adornment, unbefitting of a king. Though gems it lacked, it was engraved in gold with black. Four words around the band, and they proclaimed.
Ugh.
This sounds like
gems. Yeah. Gems? This one had the gems in it. This is what I was thinking of earlier.
Finally,
this is what
yes.
I was thinking about this one. Yeah.
Don't leave
Sand.
Me, baby.
Wait, are we guessing the words?
That's the. I think
you're,
that's the
you're
question.
Guessing the four words that are engraved upon this band.
Mummy, 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 mummy.
Mummy, 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 mummy.
Here's the thing. I think that if you don't know this answer immediately, you'll probably never get it. I don't expect Adel to ever get this.
It's like a sex thing?
Wow,
dude. Nice.
Great self-roast.
Nice.
I loved it.
Perfect self-roast.
Oh, man. Mad respect to that self-roast.
Thank you.
Dude, you have to give me the recipe for that self-roast. Wow.
Can JPC, I know you're going to hate this, but can you read it again?
Yeah. Okay. The story goes, or so the one we've all been told. And I take issue with we've all been told, because I think a certain people have been told this and some haven't. There was a king who always flew too high, and then he fell too low. And so he called his wise men to the hall and begged for them to answer the rising and the fall. And people sing of how they came back with a ring, a simple plain adornment unbefitting of a king. Though gems it lacked, it was engraved in gold with black, four words around the band, and they proclaimed.
So
is this a Bible thing?
Aaron, this is a Bible thing, and that and not a sex thing, but that's why Adel is going to have trouble.
I was truly going to say, what did I grow up without? And I was going to say, this is either about Christianity or dads.
Yes.
Wait, what about, is it something like he is risen? Good.
Sweet.
This is Adel was wrong about Christianity. I guess it is part of Christianity, but this is more Old Testament. Old Testament.
So it's not the Christ has returned.
No, it is not the Christ has returned.
It was Adam's fault.
Ooh. Here's the thing. I have read the entire Bible for spite, and I don't strongly even remember this part. I know it's this story. I don't remember the exact story here. So it's pretty not
but
obscure.
You remember the part of it.
It's about the parable of King Solomon. Is that doing anything for anyone?
Yeah, oh,
he pulled the baby in half.
The baby in half. Yeah.
See, that's the part of Solomon that I would know about the, like, hey, cut the baby, split the baby, everybody's happy. This is like a different thing.
and then the mom was like, the true mom was like, wait, don't cut the baby. I just let her have it. And King Solomon was like, oh, that worked out.
Good mom.
Yeah, he goes, oh, shit. Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
I'd love to take your Bible class. Get the baby, split the baby, everyone's happy.
I do like the idea that Holly is out there running like a sort of like Old Testament world fanfic Pathfinder game.
Now aligned with a Halo
set in the Old Testament. I'm in.
Holly also assumed that this one was just like common knowledge that everybody would know, but and this is the part where you realize, oh, my childhood was actually weird. I had like a different childhood than everybody else.
I don't know.
So here are the four words. I will give them to you, and you can tell me if this sounds familiar.
Okay.
Do it slowly.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. I'll give you an opportunity to steal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This two
shall pass.
Yes, it is shall pass. That is the wisdom of King Solomon. Holly wrote what I assumed was a well-known parable. My players disagreed that this was common knowledge and were unable to solve it. I did learn a good lesson as a GM, though, about not putting puzzles based on what I assume my players will know.
Doesn't that also sound like something about like shit? Like this too will pass? Is that something?
That's disgusting. Why would you talk like that?
You know what? You're right. I brought up shit, and that's gross, and I shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm. Unless you bring it up in the proper context. And I have been thinking about how to wrap. It doesn't matter, but I do have and we can talk about this off pod, but I do think I have a way to do it the right way for a mummy.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I don't like this, because it has to be before it hits the water, and I don't want to do it.
Allie, we're thinking the same way, yes! Okay, cool, so we got the same way. We know the same way. We have the method. We'll talk to you all about it afterwards.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think this too shall pass, I think, has sort of like jumped away from whatever its source material was at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like, we all know this too shall pass. That's like a...
Go song.
Yeah. So it's like, but I don't connect that to Solomon. And I feel like I've read the Bible. I feel like I know a lot of Bible stories. I forgot about this one for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just like to say, this too shall pass, that's a dope thing to have on a ring, too. That's I love the sentiment behind this too shall pass, the impermanence of everything. Ooh.
And Gandalf.
I hear you, but I'd rather have gems. Like,
yes.
Seems confusing.
Yeah, resale value on that ring plummeted. Hey, speaking of plummeting resale value,
this is not a great segue, right?
What a bad segue. We would love to take some time to plug some of our projects. Tim Platt, we can start with you because you had to go second the first time. What would you like to plug?
So I got a show at Littlefield on July 25th, which I think is the day before this is coming out. That one's called Made of Bugs. I do it some months, not every month, but some months. But I do have a show on August 29th at Union Hall in Brooklyn, New York, called Tim Platt's Fighting Game Live, where it's a bunch of comedians who pretend that they are controlling made up like Mortal Kombat characters and then fight each other. It's very improv-y and gamey, and it should be a whole lot of fun. And check out Rude Tales of Magic on the HeadGum Network, and Oh, These Those Stars of Space, which is that same Rude Tales crew, all produced by Bucket of Milk.
Hell yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Allie Fisher, do you have anything that you would like to plug? And I will remind you, feel free to plug things that are coming up in the future and not necessarily things that happened yesterday that people can't really take advantage of.
Not necessarily, though. Thank you for saying not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
That left some wiggle room for me to be an
okay
guy.
Oh, Tim, that wasn't about you. That wasn't about you, Tim.
Tim, that's not about you at all. It's like about like previous guests that have...
Sorry, pal. You get the mummy's curse.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry. I'm done.
Yeah, so the Same Bucket of Milk podcast that Tim just plugged, Rude Tales of Magic, and Oh, These Those Stars of Space. Every once in a while, you might catch a riddle, so tune in.
Wow.
And then I edit a bunch of really wonderful books at Tor Books. And I, you know, I don't want to plug any of them specifically because I don't write them. I simply edit them. But if you go to my Twitter page, at Allie Fisher, A-L-I-F-I-S-H-E-R, you'll see me promoting a lot of books. And you should just buy them all, is what you should do.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. That's very cool. Adel, is there anything that you would like to plug?
Yes. I was recently a guest on the Dungeon Radio Hour podcast. So please check out my appearance on that and all the other episodes of that. I also want to plug JPC's impression earlier. I think now that I found out it was Lion, I think the bah-huh was actually fantastic. Because that's like the Judy Garland Wizard of Oz line. So I should have known that. And then I also lastly want to plug, if you've been listening to this whole episode and you were like, Tim Platt said a Lord of the Rings riddle up top, and I have never heard this before. What is the answer? The answer, my dear friend, is, Tim, you want to say?
It's an egg.
It's an egg.
A box without hinges. A box. Let me try this again. A box without hinges, key, or lid. Yet, golden treasure inside is hid. The answer is egg.
How disappointed were you when the Hobbit movie was bad? Anyone that can do that has like a dark history with when the Hobbit movie came
I didn't
out.
See it. It's one of those... my like godfather read me and my brothers all the Hobbit when we were too young, before we could read, you know? So he like read all that stuff out loud. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where you're like, when I see this adapted in the media, it's just not going to be the thing for me. So yeah. I might as well remove myself from the equation and not... get mad, you know.
Smart.
That's the way to do it.
Not to one up, but in fourth grade, we did the play The Hobbit, and I was Smaug. And so, like, how can anyone ever compare with the true experience of being the dragon?
Yeah,
you're in it. You were in it.
Yeah.
Aaron, anything to plug?
Yes, I was recently on the De Podcast, which is John Mackey's podcast, and I had the best time. It's like one of the hardest I've ever laughed this year. So I'd recommend checking that out. It's a great podcast. Also check out Sitcom D&D, where someone from Rude Tales of Magic is going to be on our upcoming season. So check it out.
Wow.
Exciting.
JPC, do you have a review to read?
Thank God. Somebody asked me to read a review. Yes, and if you want to get a review featured on the show, you can always leave a 5-star review. Anywhere that you read it, leave reviews. As long as it's 5 stars and as long as it's written down, I might read it. Hey, today I'm reading one from TCC87. Got that second C in there. A 5-star review from Tom, he, him, okay to say my name. This is JPC. These are my words, no one else's. I need to leave the show forever because I pooped my pants so hard I broke my butt. And I can't solve riddles without my butt. I know what you're thinking, JPC. Surely your butt will heal in time and you can come back. But no, it's broken forever. That's how hard I pooped my pants. So this is my final goodbye. And I'd like to leave you with these parting words. Bad news, gang. All right, Adel and Aaron both looking down at their phones. They did not take the bad news gang prompt.
I'm listening.
I'm listening.
Wow. Sorry, Tom. sorry, Tom. You didn't get the bad news gang prompt, but you did get two I'm listening. It's probably...
Janet Varney is in a Zencaster room alone, and Adel and I were addressing that problem.
All right, Tom. So if you're wondering why that prompt was a big failure, that's your fault. sorry, buddy.
Yeah, it's your fault. The bad news gang. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late for the bad news gang.
Just bad news. We weren't listening, see?
Jupiter.
You can't say it.
Bye forever.
Sometimes I have to. Bye.
Starring Aaron G. Tony did the editing. Emery Perrin did the music. Logo created by Emily Cardamus and Emily Morris.
Bracken Itz. If you like that, you are going to love this week's Patreon. We've got Janet Varney on to do the final question mark installment of our 50 favorite things brackets. You can listen to that plus our entire back catalog at patreon.com/heyriddleriddle by joining the Clue Crew for $5 a month or start your 7-day free trial or the Review Crew for $8 a month and get those ad-free episodes. See you there.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.